Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Now, you can re-listen later to this show this week at shofarministries.net, and then you can take some notes, because every program we do have good insights that you will want to remember for your knowledge enhancement, which, by the way, God expects his body to pursue with diligence for total sanctification of spirit, soul, and even the flesh. And you can only achieve that through time spent in God's Word. Amen? So let's open today's lesson with a prayer from God's Word. Actually, Psalm 51. Heavenly Father, have mercy on us in your great compassion. Blot out our transgressions. Wash us completely from our guilt and cleanse us from our sin. For you don't want sacrifices, and you don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. Our sacrifice to you is a broken spirit, a broken heart. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to continue with that just a little bit in that same psalm. And in your good pleasure, God, please make Zion prosper. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they will offer bulls on your altar. Father, we also want to lift up those who have sent in their request this week, a personal healing for two people who are suffering from back pain. Heal us, and we shall be healed, for you, O God, are our healer, and we believe that you made us, you built us, you know how we work, and that you can heal us in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. And you're right, God is the healer, and I've seen many healings. Praise God. So thank you, John, for that beautiful opening, and Shabbat Shalom to you too. Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. We are going to continue from last week's show on the fulfilled spring appointments of the Lord, and we do have one more week to finish it up, and we're going to need it.
We're going to need
a lot of information, because there's three spring feasts.
That's right. There is Passover, and there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits.
Right, and we haven't even gotten to that yet, so we're going to continue on. And also, I wanted to make note of the fact that tonight is Shofar Assembly. As some of you know, we meet out in Burton on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month.
Yes.
And tonight is the night, 6:30.
6:30?
Mm-hmm.
Come out and join us.
We come at 6:15.
Well, actually, 6:15 is the real start.
That's the fellowship, because if you come at 6:30 and we've never met you before, then.
And don't be afraid to come out. We're just on the extreme east side of Cleveland in rustic Burton, Ohio.
Right. Give me a call. I'll give you the particular address.
Tell you exactly how to get there.
That's right. 440-834-9006.
Okay, and I'd like to remind our listeners of our calendar webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our events are posted, and you can also type in your biblical question and email it right to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can call Sheila as well. Leave a detailed message, and she'll be sure to get back to you. And I know she does, because she always does.
I do.
For me, yes. She's very diligent about that. And we'll be opening the lines later this hour with questions, with your questions, comments about today's program, or any end-time question you might have.
Especially end-time questions.
Especially
I like
end-time
those.
Question. And since the news lately has been dovetailing so well with the end-time prophecy scenarios that we've
sure
talked
is.
About, I got to ask you, what's the latest thing?
Well, of course, we all know the health care bill has been approved, and I know there's some aspects that are probably good, but now the United States debt is just going through the roof. Bankruptcy of America is really close. I don't see any way out of this. It's going to take a miracle. But again, it's a sign that we're getting close to globalism, because when we become bankrupt, we're going to have to join a world order. And
I see a way out of it. I see a way out of it. If Bill Gates just buys the United States.
Sure. That works.
He could probably afford it.
Yeah. But then he'll be the leader, right? Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
But if he doesn't come soon, our children are going to be strapped for sure.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it's not good.
It's
not
bad.
Good. And if it wasn't for me knowing the Lord, you know, I often wonder if I would know all this if I didn't know the Lord, because I might be out in la-la land just like seems like a lot of other people are.
That's true. And we don't want you to be ignorant of what's going on and the road
but
that
so
our
many
country
are
is on right now. But if and at the same time, we don't want you to be worried and get anxious over this, because God will take care of us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Either we trust him or we don't.
Yeah.
He will take care of you. He says he'll take care of the sparrow. He'll take care of us.
That's right. And maybe not in the way that you expect, but you'll have your needs met.
That's right. That's right. Roof over your head and food in your belly.
Food in your belly.
I also saw that the Guantanamo Bay detainees were given laptops so they could prepare their defense. And this was already a year ago.
Hmm.
How nice.
Oh, I don't even have
our
a laptop.
Our tax money. Okay, I know.
And I want one, too. How do I get down to that Gitmo so I can get one?
Everybody, he's joking. Oh, anyway, right. Also, I came across a statement that was made by Henry Kissinger about a year ago, where he said Obama is primed to create the new world order. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Mr. Kissinger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And people think and say, you know, it sounds like you really don't like Obama. And you know what? That's just not true. I'd love Obama.
You love Obama?
I do. Because he's taken us right where we need to be to fulfill prophecy so that we can leave soon.
Mm, okay.
You know?
Yeah, yes.
So,
I think we're on the fast track now.
Yes, it's going faster and faster, like a woman in labor. He also signed with Russia a deal last week for reducing nuclear missile arsenals by 25%. In exchange, Obama steps back from painful sanctions against Iran.
Mm.
And that's just to gain Russian and Chinese support. But that violates the presidential commitment that he made to Israel to pursue tougher sanctions.
You mean against Iran, right?
Yeah, he made the commitment to Israel against Iran.
Yeah, okay.
To pursue tougher sanctions, he promised.
And he backed out.
He did.
Yes, he did.
But the meeting that was this week, I guess, is probably the most saddest bit of news that I've heard since ever.
And that's indeed big news, because that was on all the news
it
networks.
It certainly was. We don't get a lot of details, but we know that Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, was totally snubbed by Obama. Obama took several unusual steps to humiliate the Prime Minister of Israel. There was no state dinner, as is customary for visits, at this level anyway. There were no official photographs released of the meetings, you know, no photo ops, because I don't think he wanted anyone, especially the Arabs, to see him shaking hands with Israel. No statements were issued to the press. And then I'm told that the president even left the Prime Minister of Israel behind while he went out to dinner. Part of what one member of Congress describes as hazing in stages.
Hazing in stages.
Yeah.
You know what it sounds like to me? He was trying to put Netanyahu in time out until he started behaving right. And that's really that's really sad.
This is not good.
Now, you know, if you don't like Israel, that doesn't mean you're necessarily evil. There's Israelis that don't like Israel, you know, and that they don't believe that the Israel state should be there.
I know.
You know, this is a
but don't know the Bible.
These are strong arm Chicago political tactics. We shouldn't be surprised at that. But the thing is that we're losing our friendship with Israel, and that's what's at stake here.
Do you know that things were so tense that members of the Israeli delegation that were with him, they feared to even use the phones that they were provided, and so they insisted on meeting somewhere else to avoid eavesdropping.
That's right.
Oh. So I don't know. We're America's in trouble when you start snubbing Israel, who is the apple of God's eye.
That's right.
And
we
particularly,
could snub them. We can snub them, but when you're poking God in the eye is when we tell them when they can build and where they can build and whose land it is, because it belongs to God. God's given the land to the Jews, and God himself is building the land. He's literally building Jerusalem.
And how is his name on Jerusalem?
How's his name on Jerusalem? Well, you can either go up in a helicopter, and you can look down from the sky, and you'll see that the three hills that Jerusalem's built upon.
Valleys.
Between the hills and the valleys, it looks like the letter Shin from the Hebrew alphabet, which stands for
Shaddai,
or the Almighty. And you can see that literal letter in the topography of that land from the air.
And in Kings 21:7, he says, I put my name in Jerusalem. His name is there in his initial.
That's right.
It is God's land. But Israel does know that the United States President, Mr. Obama, can make its life a living hell.
Mm.
And I'm afraid that that's the Chicago tactics that he might have used.
Yes.
By saying, well, okay, you sit here now while I go to dinner and think about what I just told you.
Yeah.
You know, this is scary days.
Scary days is
but
right.
I'm sure that he wants to take down the Netanyahu government. He doesn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he wants to get someone else in there that's going to listen and do exactly what he says. Anyway, Netanyahu, of course, has stood up and said, Jerusalem is not a settlement. We will build there because it's our capital.
That's right. Jerusalem is not a settlement. And they're even building in an area that they were allowed to build to, and to build in. The agreement that they're not breaking any agreements. As a matter of fact, the agreement was that they could build there.
Well, that's the thing. And it was just Obama's idea that came up and said, oh, not even East Jerusalem. And they were all surprised. Well, what do you mean? That's never been on the table before. Even the Palestinians have never said that. That's our Jewish quarter. Of course we can build apartments, high apartments there to help, you know, for the people. So that was all his saying.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good.
Well,
even the Washington Post said that Obama treated Netanyahu like an unsavory third world dictator. Washington Post. So.
Well, are we seeing, Sheila, the beginning of the end of friendly relationships?
Well, it certainly seems so. Isn't that what the Bible says will happen in Zechariah 12:2-9?
Is that what we're seeing?
Zechariah 12:2-9 says that Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone. But then in verse 9 it says, I will destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. We are going against Jerusalem right now by telling them they can't build.
And that's right. And if we deprive them from a place to live, and God is fair in his retribution, and he says, I'll bless those that bless you.
He warned us.
And I'll curse those that curse those. And he's fair. So if we find ourselves having trouble finding places to live, which I think we do now,
you can expect more of it.
Yeah.
You know, and this. What's sad is that Obama's chief advisors, Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod, are both Jewish people. And they're throwing Israel under the bus. That's who's advising Obama. It's sad.
It is sad.
You know?
It is sad. And if you don't see this spiritually, you don't see it. And that's why our leaders aren't connecting the dots. Well, if you want to do something kind of political, then tell your leaders, hey, study the Bible.
That's right. Amen to that.
Amen.
But, you know, God said that at one point in time, there's going to be seven more years of Daniel's 490-year prophecy. It was stopped when Jesus Christ died on the cross, mm-hmm. and time for the church age to be born. And when we're out of here, which is why we have to leave, mm-hmm. that last 7 years of that prophecy has to be fulfilled. And that's why we see everything going back to Jewish time, especially in Israel, and the temple about to be rebuilt and the sacrifices starting up again. And it's all because it's going back to finish that seven-year prophecy mm-hmm. that where God honed in on and looked at the Jews. And in Romans, it says that all Israel will be saved. And that's why this affliction is coming. So unfortunately, we're going to see unrighteousness, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. We're seeing even within Israel, Tel Aviv is known as the capital for gay life and partying.
That's the party capital, Tel Aviv is.
And they're doing things that God's not pleased with. And he's coming and judging. And they will get on their knees. They will recognize their Messiah when especially the war of Gog and Magog happens, mm-hmm. Ezekiel 38 and 39, which never before in the history of the world has Persia, which is Iran, ever allied themselves with Russia or the up in the north there that the Bible talks about. It's never happened before. First time ever they are allies now.
Okay, so we see all these little components here adding up together to make a very clear picture mm-hmm. that we live very close to the time when Jesus is going to come back.
That's right.
The Messiah, Yeshua, the Messiah is going to come back, return for specifically taking his church out.
I
don't want to sound arrogant. Don't think we're sounding arrogant.
No.
We're the church and we deserve to escape all these things.
No.
It's not like that. Actually, the church is important, but you know what? Like you said before, Sheila, and I've learned this by going to Shofar, you said that the church is a specific group of people, God's elect, in a certain age. God mm-hmm. has his elect in every age. There's his elect that he's going to deal with in every age. He doesn't reject any particular group. He does, but, you know, the time for the church
is closing.
Is closing.
Right.
You know?
And I hear this often, and I think it's probably important to address, is that people say, okay, I'm really glad Jesus is coming back, but there's so many of my friends and loved ones, so I really don't want him to come back yet. But let me tell you something. You've done everything you probably can by this point.
Oh, you mean to witness to your loved ones. Yeah.
And the affliction that is coming on to those that are going to be left behind mm-hmm. is the fact that they're going to remember what you've told them because you've been telling them what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when they see it, they will get on their knees and at least they'll be part of the kingdom. Otherwise, if he doesn't come back for another 100 years, those people could die in their sin and never see the kingdom. So you really want this to happen. You really want it to get the show on the road.
That's right.
For those that are alive, if you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing as a witness unto Christ, they will know and they will get on their knees. And that's everything.
Yes. God's merciful because his affliction, in our affliction, we call out to him.
That's right. Hosea 5.
Hosea 5. So we may not understand what your relatives, maybe it's your children or your parents, they don't understand what you're trying to tell them or they can't receive it. Hey, you know, there's a lot of confusion these days and it's hard to make a decision and you may sound crazy and just tell them, hey, you know, I may be crazy, but just promise me if I should disappear off the face of the earth and you see these judgments happening, just do me a favor and repent and they will.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah. Of course they will. I mean...
The tribulation that's coming is not designed, it's designed to punish, but moreover, the bigger picture that God wants to do, he wants people to repent. And some people, that's the only way you can get their attention is with horrible things happening.
I want to mention, too, what the demands were from the Obama administration, because that definitely has come out. First of all, we know that they've already agreed to a 10-month freeze on the West Bank settlements, but now they want to include... Obama wants them to include East Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're saying no on that. The other thing is that Israel must make more concessions to the Palestinian Authority. That's the other one. And another condition is that Israel has to commit or promise to refrain from attacking Iran's nuclear program without prior U.S. consent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge one because... Mm-hmm. We're not doing the sanctions that we're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
and so I could see them wanting to do something, but they're not supposed to be able to without us saying it's okay, and we'll never say it's okay. Obama just won't say that. And there's also some rumors going on that Iran is pushing Syria along with Hamas and Hezbollah to attack Israel. And in fact, Israel has been fitting their people again for their gas masks.
Oh, okay. And yeah. That last time we saw that was that Saddam Hussein with the Scud missiles coming clear from Iraq, you know, over into the neighborhoods and things.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
And the other thing is, and I forgot what I was going to say again.
Pray for the peace. I'll tell you what to say. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those you will prosper. If you love her, pray for Jerusalem. Pray for her peace because these are the times when we need to be doing that.
That's right.
Psalm 122.
Amen to that. And, of course, you know there's lots of other news going on, and we don't want to take all our Bible time up to go into too much detail. There's other shows, you know, really qualified in those areas, and I hope that you are at least staying informed about what's going on.
Well, anyway, what we've just been talking about at least has the potential to become very historic. This might be the point where the United States breaks away.
Right.
And Israel breaks.
I remember, John, what I was going to say. I was just going to add to the fact that according to Isaiah 17:1, Damascus is going to be destroyed by Israel at some point. And Damascus is in Syria. So if Syria attacks, maybe that will fulfill that scripture.
Mm.
And it could happen before the tribulation even begins.
So that'll be interesting.
Yes. Amen to that.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. Now, let's see. We're going to be doing the Passover sacrifice?
Yeah, that's kind of at least some exciting news. As far as I know, they're still supposed to do it on Monday.
Is real news, not rumor, right?
No, this is, well, they want to really do it.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that someone won't come in and stop them.
Okay, this is going to be huge.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Yeah, now I understand that in 2008, they did have a similar demonstration by the yeshiva students, and they did it overlooking the Temple Mount over there where the yeshiva study place is.
Yes.
But it wasn't with the real altar or anything. It was done more to rehearse for particularly the Temple Mount. But it's still not the Temple Mount. It's down in Jericho. But it's going to be on the actual altar that they made out of the stones from the Dead Sea.
And at some point, this is a real altar. This is the real altar.
This will be the real altar that will be moved at the proper time.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a sacrifice.
That's what I'm heard. That's what I'm told.
And it's going to be the lamb sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
It's going
the
to probably
lamb.
Take place early this coming week.
Monday. That's the eve of Passover.
And it's like the first time, except for what, like you said, the yeshiva students doing it. But this will be the first time actual Levites are doing
the actual priests will be doing
actual the
whole
procedure
thing.
Of the Passover lamb on the altar.
On the altar.
On the altar.
Yeah.
And this hasn't taken place since Ezra did it.
That's correct.
Yes.
In 3:6.
So what could this mean?
Well, again, everything is going back to Jewish time, to Jewishness, because it has to fulfill the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. You can read about it in Daniel 9:24-27.
Yes.
And that's why we have to leave, because God has to focus his attention on those last 7 years of prophecy to the Jewish people. So he wants us out of the way.
Amen.
Amen. So we're leaving soon.
We're leaving soon. And don't get worried either. Praise God. Look up and know that God's going to take care of us one way or the other, right?
That's right.
Right.
And we come back after break, and I'll just mention for the last 2 weeks we've been covering the appointments of God, particularly the spring feast, beginning with Passover, since Passover is next week. We've talked about the two Jewish calendars and why they had to have them.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how they picked the lamb on Palm Sunday and showed how Jesus even fulfilled that. And again, if you haven't listened to the last 2 weeks' program, they are on my webpage, shofarministries.net. Go to radio, and you can click on and listen to the programs. We saw how they examined the lamb for 4 days, and they examined Jesus for 4 days with questions in the temple. When Pilate then announced, "I find no blemish in him." We've talked about how Jesus did not die on a Friday, but a Thursday, and explained why. And today, when we come back, we'll speak on some gold nuggets associated with his death and burial.
So stay tuned. The lines will be open when we come back. If you have a question, particularly on our subject today or any end time or eschatological question, the number is 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 9673. Since we cover such a big area on the radio, we would both like to visit you at your own church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. So ask your pastor and ask him to give us a call, 440-834-9006. And I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3. All your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching and you're growing, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton 44021. Or you can give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal as well. And you can purchase the teaching DVDs, especially on the spring feast, for a donation of only $15.
Right. I've kept them down as low as I possibly can because the teaching is very important. But I do want to remind you, we do need your help. We really have only received a couple donations from being on the air from you. So please feel free at any time to give. And perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show or by doing some kind of advertising your family.
Or maybe company. Maybe you could refer someone who could. And,
thank you for taking over there.
Yes, and you can reach Sheila for details on that by calling 440-834-9006. Once again, those numbers for your questions. First one is 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. That's 9673. So stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back for the second half after a short break and a great song called Via Della Rosa. And this is by Amy Sparra from Lake County, Ohio. Stay with us now.
Stay with us now. Thank you.
Shalom, radio listeners. Are you looking for another career? Could the Lord be leading you into a new field in a happy and safe environment with people who really appreciate and are thankful for what you do? Well, if you are pleasant and like children and newborns, Alexandria's Training School is looking for people of all ages to be certified in this in-demand child care industry. Call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. Or, if you need nanny care for your precious little ones, the number's the same, 440-781-7531. And tell Carolyn you heard about this opportunity on WHKWradio.com.
Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
There's one born every minute. This quote attributed to P.T. Barnum refers to the fact that there are a lot of gullible people in the world. Unfortunately, the majority of the mattress industry has tried to exploit this. Manufacturers, for instance, come up with different names for the same products at different stores and tout features that have no true benefit to the consumer. Retailers typically offer sales gimmicks such as free in-home trials, free frames, free delivery, and 50% off sales to entice you. In some cities, a few advertisements even offer free groceries, televisions, or gift cards with a mattress purchase. Are we really that gullible? This is Ron Trzezinski, and at the Original Mattress Factory, we prefer to stick to the facts. We build our products right and build them to last. No cutting corners or components. We offer real value created by manufacturing our own products and selling direct to the consumer, eliminating middleman markups and truly saving you money. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
Look out!
Have you been injured in an accident and hired an attorney to fight for the compensation you deserve?
Are you tired of waiting for your settlement and need cash now? If so, then you need to listen to this. Oasis Legal Finance could give you a cash advance from $500,000 to $500,000 before your case settles. That's right. Get the money you deserve now. Oasis has advanced millions of dollars to people just like you, and there's absolutely no obligation to repay if you lose your case. This is not a loan, so your credit history doesn't matter. Call Oasis now. If approved, you could receive your check in as little as 24 hours. Don't wait. The phone call and application are free. You could receive a cash advance from $500,000 to $500,000.
Have your attorney's information ready and call Oasis at 1-800-618-0706. That's 1-800-618-0706. 1-800-618-0706.
Ooh.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Wasn't that a beautiful song? That
was, oh, man.
That was by Amy Safara.
Safara
from Lake County, Ohio. And what a singer. And
yes.
Her dad's a pastor.
Yes. In fact, she is the daughter of the pastor that I went and spoke at last week.
Was
at
that
Lake
Shore
Assembly? Oh, my God, yes.
Okay. And I believe I have heard her sing live.
Yeah,
and
pretty.
She has a beautiful voice. And glad you're back with us.
Yes.
For our second
half. We are glad you're back. And we had a question that came in during the break from one of our listeners. And it's a good question, one that I know is on everybody's mind. And that is the fact that with everything that's happening, do you think Jesus is coming back this year? What do you think, John?
Well, I'd like to tell him. Do you want an exact date?
No.
We don't want to get
you a date
in trouble.
And time, and I'll tell you the hill we'll be waiting on. No, actually, he could be this year.
Of course.
Would be an excellent
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Can we say for sure?
No.
But I'll tell you what. Like, when you see all the signs lining up like they are, mm-hmm. and you know, if you followed us, you know that we have a good reason to believe that the resurrection / rapture
right.
occurs simultaneously. The
yes.
resurrection and rapture.
Because the Bible says so.
Also, the traditional date for the resurrection is always a Rosh Hashanah. On the Jewish holy calendar, that would be the seventh month. On the secular calendar, it's the first month, but in other words, in the fall of the
year.
Well,
James says that it'll be when the harvest comes
when
in.
The
it's
harvest
going to
comes.
Be in
so
the fall.
During the fall feast.
Whether it's going to be on Rosh Hashanah, which I believe it probably will, but mm-hmm. do we know exactly when that Rosh Hashanah is, or is it the month after?
Is it this
after?
Year's Rosh Hashanah? Is it the month after?
Yes.
There's
I mean,
a few
we could be off
details.
A month. The Jewish calendar is not that precise,
and
it's calling for September, but it could be the new moon in October.
It could be.
You know, we don't know for sure. Then that's what God wants. He wants there to always be an element of surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But more things happen,
mm-hmm.
it certainly gets one excited.
He does want us to know the sign of the time. So
He does. He cried. Remember standing on the Mount of Olives over Jerusalem? He cried. He says, you should have known for this your time.
Mm-hmm. And we know the time. So can we be real specific? No, but it's a good chance, caller. I don't know what your name is, but this
mm-hmm.
is a good chance to, you know, this
That's
is
right.
the time I'm really looking forward to this.
I'm excited too. All right, we also have another caller, and his name is Ben. Ben, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, where are you from?
I'm actually from Indiana. I'm driving home right now for Easter.
Oh.
I live on the East Coast right now.
Okay, both hands on the wheel, Ben.
Yeah, I will. I have a question for you, and I don't really know what your answer might be, but it's kind of a meta question, maybe a little philosophical, but I'm wondering what your take is on the relationship between biblical interpretation and worldly political action.
Okay, biblical interpretation, and what was the second thing you said?
And, you know, worldly political action, and I say this with a few things in mind, and I'm thinking of I don't know the exact verse, but, you know, the verse about how no one will know the exact date.
Right.
And also admonitions by Jesus about give the Caesar what is Caesar's and give the God what is God's.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about those things, it seems to me like a warning against overly specific interpretation because of the danger that our flawed human reason leads us to dangerous political actions that are divorced from the real world of sin and fallible human beings. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like you're saying that we've got to be careful that our beliefs, our end times beliefs, don't lead us into political actions that could be dangerous.
Right. It seems like there's a real danger of becoming obsessed with finding signs here and there such that you become blind to some of the actual things that are going on in the world.
Right.
I see, because actually I'm getting my PhD in political science.
Hey, good for you.
And I'm a little troubled by the blanket rejection of certain policies towards Israel simply because it might endanger what you think is going to happen at the end of time.
Okay. Yeah, that's in our case, that would be putting the cart before the horse. We're interested in this. How it relates to Bible prophecy. Hey, maybe it's not, this is not the sign, but I think it's opening up a whole realm of possibility that we might be on that, you know, on that track.
I'm glad you said, said that about it being a possibility, and I think that speaks to what I'm saying. I'm worried that when you speak about the possibilities and then use them to criticize real political action in the real world of fallible human beings, you may lead to erroneous or faulty assessments of
conclusions.
Which policy is best or which policy is not best, simply because the thing that's driving your analysis is some personal interpretation that, frankly, could be right or wrong, as you said. I mean, we know that there's been hundreds of activists and religious leaders over the hundreds of years that have said the end times are, you know, next week or
exactly,
next year.
Exactly.
X, Y, and Z. I just wondered if you ever worry about saying things of a political nature that would get people to change minds where you're not a political expert.
Right. And that's a legitimate worry. And you know what? All of us can be myopic at times. And we can just, you know, focus in on this one thing, and then we're going to start doing things in our life. Like, for instance, there was a joke, and I know some of these people weren't joking about this, but if God's going to be coming back this year, this soon, well, let's just load up the credit cards. Obviously, that's the last thing we would like to see happen. But we do want people to be aware that we are in a time where we could definitely see Jesus. You know,
amen to that. And I think also if
that
I could add to
time,
it,
though.
What?
That could be any time.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
But if I can add to that, what I try to look at is really at Israel. We have all the other signs, you know, we've always had earthquakes and all, and everybody can say all that kind of stuff. But I really look at Israel, and it was prophesied for thousands of years that Israel would be back in their land. And that happened, their, you know, state in 1948. And I think that's what really started the clock ticking. And I believe the people that saw that happen, there will be some of those people that will still be alive at the resurrection. And as we go on through the years, we see how close we are, and now especially that we're snubbing Israel. We've always been their ally and their good friend, and now we see that changing.
This reminds me a little bit of, are you familiar with the Doomsday Clock?
I am.
An atomic scholarly journal used to publish this clock that was supposedly an analysis of how close we were to a nuclear holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always at about 11:59 for years.
For years,
And now they kind of realize that no, we probably won't have a nuclear holocaust anytime soon because people aren't crazy and they don't start lobbying nuclear weapons anymore.
Mm-hmm. Or because God was protecting America because we were blessing Israel. That can change. It is changing.
You think that is what's driving every action in the world is people's relationship to Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's just what the Bible says. God says that I will bless those that bless you. Genesis 12:3.
I feel bad that you're leading Christians to be so obsessed with this kind of stuff when there's other much more important and more Jesus-centered types of actions in the world and types of things to be concerned about. It's really kind of, firstly, it's upsetting to be someone who's a political observer primarily. And I would actually encourage you and any of your listeners, if you want maybe a philosophical take on a different kind of relationship to the text and to interpretation. There's a Spanish philosopher by the name of Miguel de Unamuno who was pretty intimate with the effects of this because he was killed by fascists. But he wrote about the relationship between reason and faith as a flawed human being and how you should address your faith and address interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
The book is called Tragic Sense of Life. So, that's all I guess I can say. I'm probably not going to change your mind, but
Ben, let me just tell you that I so appreciate your calling, and I know that there's probably a lot of people that probably feel that way too, especially in the days that we're living. But I got to go by the literal translation of the Bible. And if it says, if you bless Israel, I will bless you. And I just have to believe that, because I believe in the literal interpretation of what the Bible says. And that's how I believe. And I think actually, if you're truly, really born again, you need to believe the literal interpretation of the Bible. And if we're going to step on Israel and step on Jerusalem and give it to their enemies, by the way, then I think that God is lifting his hand from America. And if you can't see that, it's really happening. I mean, we've got this new health care bill that is going to bankrupt us. And God is, I think, already lifting his hand off of America. It makes me sad, but I know these things are prophesied to happen. We are going into globalism, the one world government, and it's just prophecy falling into line. And if you want to give me a call at home, I'd be glad to talk to you some more all about these details, because there's lots of prophecies that have come true that no other religion has ever been able to say has happened in any of their books. And I have to believe, when I can name hundreds, basically a lot of them just with Jesus' first coming, then I have to believe what the Bible says is truth. So that's how I stand. And again, I appreciate your calling. And
yeah, Ben, we appreciate your question. It was an excellent question. And sure, there's a whole bunch of thought like that out there.
Why focus
on this area, and how can you be sure and everything? But Ben, I just encourage you to go to our website, listen to the shows, and come back, and keep listening.
Right. And our website address is shofarministries.net. S-H-O-F as in Frank, A-R, ministries.net.
.net.
Amen.
Amen.
We've got a few minutes. I want to talk a little bit now about where we left off with the spring feast. And we talked about last time, we left off with the fact that the lamb was picked on Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus also rode in on a donkey on Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He was examined for 4 days, just like the lamb is examined for 4 days. And at the end of 4 days, Pilate said, "I find no blemish in him."
Mm-hmm.
So he washed his hands of the blood of Jesus. And that evening, they had the Last Supper, which was Passover evening.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, they picked him up over at the Garden of Gethsemane and put him on the cross at 9 a.m. in the morning. And he hung there for 6 hours. And his side was pierced in the middle of the afternoon, twixt the evening, 3 p.m. And then he was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread at sundown, because it changed to the 15th. And we can see by his death on Thursday that he was actually in the grave 3 days and three nights. Amen to that. But I wanted to mention something. Now, this is just a little bit of a gold nugget. And I understand that, especially in the first century and before that into the Old Testament, that when a person's debt was paid to society for something that they had done wrong, okay, and they had to go to a judge and they were given a sentence, that when the sentence was done, they were actually given a piece of paper that they would have to carry with them, so that if it ever came up, they could say, "Here's the paper, I paid my debt."
Mm-hmm.
But on this paper, it was stamped in one of those, you know how they have the glue stamps, you know?
Oh, the seal?
The seal. Thank you, John. Well, on the seal, that would actually say, "Tetelestai." Now, most of the language was Greek in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's said "Tetelestai." And what that says is, paid in full.
Paid in full.
Yeah. So the debt that they owed was paid in full. Well, isn't it interesting that that's the same words that not only the priest says when they slay the animal, the lamb, paid in full, but it was also what Jesus said on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Your debt is paid.
Okay.
Paid in full. So I thought that was interesting, because that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He paid our debt for the sins that we commit.
And, the piece of paper, the document that I carry around, in case anybody asks me, if you know, if I've served my time and if my sentence has been paid and mm-hmm. my debt to society mm-hmm. paid, and I pull out my document, which is called a Bible.
That's right.
That's it. We got it right here.
That's right.
Amen.
And I thought another interesting gold nugget, I actually read in the Talmud, okay? And, of course, that's a rabbinical commentary on the Torah.
That are you sure you should be reading from there?
Well, I don't agree with it all, let me tell you that. But this is a piece of history now.
Okay.
But during temple times, the father would take the slain lamb, skewer it on a pomegranate stick,
mm-hmm.
and roast it in an upright position with another stick between its arms to hold the body cavity
open.
Mm-hmm. So then they would take the entrails, you know, the intestines, and they would be wrapped around its head and would actually be called the crowned sacrifice.
Hmm.
That is just amazing to me.
Amen. That is. And that is a very vivid picture of the crucifixion.
It sure is, because they're doing it right with the lamb. So I'm going to leave you with that little bit of gold nugget. And when we come back next week, we're going to finish it all. And
have a, and in between those times, if you're celebrating Passover, have a happy Passover, Chag Sameach. I have any questions for Sheila, just if you'd like her to speak at your church, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. Okay, we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing right now. Yevrechecha Adonai b'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lacha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Now is the time you really should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
That's right. Amen to that. See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.